Yeah, come on, you can give a little encouragement if you would like, because I speak better when you encourage me. That's just the way life goes. Life, when you get some encouragement, you just do better. And we are starting a brand new series called Through the Eyes of a Lion, and it is all about the power of your perception, the way you are looking at your life. And we're asking for God to do some miracles today and every day of this series, that you will stop looking at your life through your eyes, your limited perception, and you will start looking at your life through the eyes of the Lord, the one who is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when you see your life through his eyes, watch out. It will be amazing. The way you see things influences everything. The way you perceive things changes everything. That's true spiritually, psychologically, physically, emotionally. They've studied it. The University of New York did a study where they brought in the first test group, and they gave them some testing, and they were in the testing putting in a lot of words about growing old. I don't know what exact words they put in there, but they put in words like wrinkled, graying, bingo. They just put in words like about growing old. And then the second test group, they had none of those words. None of those words were part of their testing. Now, the test wasn't the test. The real test that they were measuring was the people's speed as they left the testing room and moved to the exit. And here's what they found. All of the people that had been focusing on old, getting old, growing old, they literally walked slower, all of them, to the exit, which is why I never think about getting old and why I thank God my last name is Young. That's why Darla married me. Because I could make her young forever. That's what I did. But your perception. Here's another one. University of Oxford did a study of people that had been injured and had a wound. And they got the people to look at their wounds through binoculars. This was the study, through binoculars. But have you ever turned binoculars around so that you look at them through the big end instead of the little end? You ever done that? And when you do that, things look Like far away. If I was looking at you, you'd be on the other side of I-75. I'd have to talk really loud because you'd be so far away. Your perception would change. And what they did in the study was get people to look at their wounds, their injuries, through the wrong side of binocular. And what they found was as their perception of their injury changed, their pain level decreased. Can somebody say, wow? So what would happen? What would happen in your life if you started to look through the eyes of the Lord, through the eyes of the Lion at your life? Well, I don't know all the things that would happen, but I promise you this would happen. And this is a key scripture for this series. Romans 8 says, and I'd like us to say it together out loud. Good strong voice. Here we go. We'll all start together. Wait till I get everybody started. You're anxious. Okay, here we go. Ready? Good, strong voice. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So I don't know everything that would change, but you would learn. If you look through the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lion, you would know whatever you're in, that would include in all, whatever you're in is all things. Whatever you're in includes all things. And in that all things, you would see yourself as more than a conqueror. Because that's how the Lord sees you. That's how the Lion sees you. And I'm going to specifically teach and talk on what the Lord's directed us to today. And it's how you look at the storms of life that you find yourself in. And we're going to open up the scriptures to Mark chapter 4. And in Mark chapter 4, Jesus has had a long teaching. He's fed 5,000 people. He's had a long teaching time. He's very tired. And he says, boys, we're going on a boat ride. And he takes them down to the shore, and there's the SS Minnow right there. And he says, okay, boys, we're getting onto the boat, and we're going to go over to the other side. for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour. Three-hour tour, a three-hour tour. The weather started getting rough. The little ship was tossed. If not for the faithful of a fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. The minnow would be lost. So they're on. They got on the boat, and actually, a storm did come up. Someone says, "What was that song?" That's not one of those. Someone said, "What was that song?" Okay, that's it. Gilligan's Island. That's what that song. Someone's going, "What was that?" Some of you don't even know about Gilligan. You don't even know about him. But it's a whole other generation. But so the boat, not in Gilligan's Island, but in Jesus' day, the storm came up. And while the storm was raging, Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping because he had inner peace in the midst of the storm. He'd already told them, "Hey, boys, we're going to the other side." So he could have slept. He could have slept for the whole trip. He had faith that they were going to the other side. The boys, the disciples, were filled with stress and anxiety that they were going to drown. And so finally they had to wake Jesus up. And I don't know who did it, probably Peter. Shook Jesus and said, "Jesus, wake up." And Jesus gets up and says, "Hey, what's the problem? What's up?" "Well, Lord, there's a storm going on." And Jesus, no problem. He walks to the front of the boat and he says these words, "Peace be still." Then he turns and he says to the disciples, "Why were you guys so afraid? Where was your faith?" What he was saying is, if you never woke me up, we were going to the other side. You guys were focused on the storm. You should have been focused on me. Was I upset? Was I filled with anxiety? Was I filled with fear? No. And I'd like the kind of peace I have to be in you. How many would like the kind of peace Jesus had in the boat to be in you? No matter what's going on around you. And here's what happened in the story. Jesus' inner peace influenced the entire atmosphere. That happened. So let me just give you four principles from this story. How you can see things differently and how it affects the storms. Because you will, as long as you live in this world, you will face storms. You'll face troubles. Jesus said, in this world, you will face troubles, but be of good courage, I've overcome the world. So here's four things you just need to see if you are in the midst of a storm right now. And if you're not, there's one coming. Just like it happens naturally. Could rain today, someone told me. It'd be nice if it rained today, actually. We could do with a little rain. But storms come, and storms come spiritually, and storms come financially, and storms come emotionally. But in the midst of your storm here, number one, know this. You've got to know where you're going. Before Jesus ever started the trip, he said, "Boys, we're going, and we're going to the other side." And you've got to have it deep in your heart when the storm comes up, not to focus on the storm, but to focus on the destination, the dream, the thing that God has said to you. Jesus brought them down to the side of the boat. He says, "Hey, let's all say this together. Let's cross over to the other side." That together. Let's cross over to the other side. Because the storm will try to distract you from the destiny that Jesus has already spoken over your life. The dream that God already had. God already sees you on the other side. Now, the storm will try to distract you. The storm will try to fill you with anxiety. Now, if you read all of Mark 4, you'll find out that Jesus had just taught before they got on the boat a parable of the sowing of God's word as a seed that goes in, the truth of God that comes into humanity, and if we receive it, it brings incredible growth. He says 30-fold growth, 60-fold growth, and 100-fold growth. And the disciples all said, "Jesus, sign us up for 100%. That's what we are the 100%ers. We want everything you have, Jesus, we want." And Jesus said, "Be careful, because there's three things that will try to choke out the truth. Having shallow roots, the cares of this world, weeds grow up, and he calls those the cares of this world. And the enemy will come against The word. Okay. So Jesus had he had taught that this day. Now the disciples were in the boat. Get this. What had Jesus said? Where were they going? Everybody together. Where were they going? However, they were now had a boat filled with weeds. Watch this. The cares of this world, the anxiety of this world had sprung up and was choking them. They were distracted from what the Lord had said, and they were allowing the cares of this world, the stress of this world, to choke it out. I don't know what the other side is for you, but I do know this. Your marriage is going to the other side. I know that. Your health is going to the other side. Your freedom and deliverance, that habit is a storm, but you are going to transcend that habit because you are going to the other side. You got to know where you're going. Do not be distracted by the storm. Keep your focus on where Jesus is taking you. You need to stop being a storm tracker. See these storm tracker? They run after storms. They're always focusing on the storm. And you can tell when you're talking to a storm tracker because they tell you every bad thing that's happened in the last 7 months. Oh, it's been hard. Well, this storm came, then that storm came. I've lost so much. Stop that. Start talking about where Jesus has taken you to, not where you've been. Look beyond the storm. Know where you are going. That's number one. Number two, you got to know who's in the boat with you. You got to know who's with you in the midst of the storm. And I know it's self-evident, but I don't want to miss this. Who was in the boat with the boys? What was his name? Come on, give it to me. He was there. Jesus was in the boat. And it says Jesus was in the stern of the boat, in the back of the boat. And he was asleep on a pillow. And I didn't know that Jesus was like my wife. Everywhere my wife goes, she brings her own pillow. We have a suitcase, sometimes a whole other suitcase. I say, what's in that? My pillow. I don't know where Jesus got this pillow, but he was on it, and he was sleeping. And while he was sleeping, the wind and the waves came up. And what did Jesus keep doing? In the midst of the storm, what did Jesus keep doing? Was Jesus at peace? Was he filled with anxiety, stress, depression? He was perfectly at peace. And they went to him and said, Lord, you got to get up. Don't you care about us? We're perishing. What they were saying was, and get this, Jesus, you're not doing what we think you should do. I'm going to say that again. Because you have a storm and Jesus isn't doing the five things you think he should be doing? Jesus, you're not doing what we think you should be doing. What they should have realized was that if Jesus was at peace, I guess everything's going to be okay. But Jesus was trying to teach them by his presence, and they wanted some demonstration of power, and sometimes his presence is all you need. And sometimes when Jesus doesn't do things quite the way you think he should, it causes greater anxiety, and you need to come back to the place that knows, oh, no, 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 no. It's enough for Jesus to be with me. Everything is going to be okay. And Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but I've overcome this world. I love this, and he promises to be with you every single day of your life. In the midst of your storm, he says, hey, I'm going to be with you always. And in the original language, that means always. That's always. That's all. That means now, that's tomorrow, that's next day, that's last week. Jesus does not abandon ship in the midst of your storm. I'm with you. Even to the end of the world, I'm with you. So number one, we got to know where we're going. Number two, we've got to know who is with us. Number three, we need to not be shaped by our fears. We need to be shaped by our faith. Because when Jesus stood up from his sleep and after he had said the words, "Peace be still," he said this to the disciples, "Why are you so fearful?" Why? Well, Jesus, it's pretty obvious we're in a storm. No, you're not. Well, no, Jesus, we're in a storm. No, you're not. You're not in the storm. And here's a big, get this. You're not in the storm, you're in the boat. And there's a difference. Lord, I'm in a storm. No, you're in a boat. And who's in the boat with you? Come on, let's say his name. Yeah. The storm is out there. Well, I feel the spray. It doesn't matter, you're in the boat. And fear puts your attention on the wind and the waves. Faith puts your attention on Jesus. Why were you so fearful? Where was your faith? You had no faith. And I'll tell you this, today, this day, and this coming week, and this next coming month, your reality, watch this, your reality is going to be shaped by your fears, or your reality is going to be shaped by your faith. Life is going to happen in the next 30 days. But how do you see it? What end of the binoculars are you looking through? I should have brought some binoculars with me. Because I could have held them up, and you could have been so close to me. And I could, oh, my troubles are so big. Oh, they're overwhelming. The storm is going to sink me. Let's go, I'm going down. Or I could flip them around and go, man, that storm is far away. I wish you get this. So we're in a special week that we're emphasizing connecting with connect groups. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why that is so important, because it's in a connect group, in a small group, that people can ask you the same question that Jesus asked. Hey, why are you so afraid? It's going to be okay. It's in a connect group that people's faith grows faster and farther than in any other ministry of the church. Any other. And I've been studying this for a long time. The people whose faith grows faster and farther are connected with a connect group because they hear this message regularly and it's asked personally. I know when I ask you, it's like a big audience thing. It's another thing when I'm sitting around a coffee table and I say, hey, why are you so afraid? It's like being in a boat. Jesus had a small group. Some of you have been sailing alone. You need to have some friends in your boat. Jesus is with you. He's there. But you see, it wasn't just Jesus. There was a group of friends right there. Jesus traveled with the connect group. He was into it. And it's something when I'm in a boat, I'm talking to your audience, but it's something when I'm sitting across the boat and I'm going, hey, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith? That's why Connect Group is so important to our spiritual life and development. Last week we had hundreds and hundreds. I told you, over 200 commitments to Christ. And already those commitments are under attack. We called them, we talked to them. The storm wants to distract you from Jesus. And when you make a commitment to Christ, maybe you were here last week and you made a commitment to Christ and you found out, like, wow. All heaven rejoices when you make a commitment to Christ. All hell wants to fill your boat with water. So you need to focus on Jesus in this time because he's going to build your faith. There are some words that you need to know, and rather than looking at the storm, you need to know these kind of words, words that say it, from God's word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's his word. Oh no, the water, the storm. No. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My God will supply all my needs, all of them. That's his word. How about this one? We already emphasized it. In all things, I am more than a conqueror. In all things. I wish somebody would help me today. I just wish somebody would help me. I just wish somebody would. How about this one? How about this word that you can trust? How about this word? Peace be still. How about that one? Pastor, if you knew what was going on. No. Peace, be still. Know where you're going. Know who's going with you. Don't be distracted by the fear. Stay in faith. And hear this today. Peace, be still. See your life. See your life in peace, be still. Don't see your life in pieces. That's the storm. See your life in peace, be still. Because that's how Jesus was. He was in the boat and he was at perfect peace. The big lesson of this story is not that Jesus had to speak to the wind and the waves. The big wake-up moment was not Jesus being woken up. It was the disciples saying, hey, you didn't have to wake me up. You guys need to wake up. Some of you are shaking Jesus, trying to get him to do what you want, and it's not Jesus that needs to wake up. It's you that needs to wake up. You need to wake up that he's with you, and he's at perfect peace. Just look at him. He's not stressed. He's not sweating. He's not worried about this week. He's not worried about what's going to happen this week. He is at perfect peace. His inner peace can come to you. Already, before Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, Jesus' wind and waves were already at perfect peace. Did you know, like right now, most of you are breathing? Did you know that? And when people are filled with anxiety and stress, their wind whips up. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus was on the boat, his inner wind Mama's home cooking. His inner waves. You know there are some waves going on, at least in most of you that I can see, called brain waves? Yeah. You know where Jesus' inner waves were? Mama's home cooking. I'm just telling you, inside Jesus, inside the body of Jesus, perfect peace. And the lesson was, in the midst of the storm, guys, you don't need to wake me up. We're going to the other side. I'm in perfect peace. We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. If you never woke me up, we're going to be okay. That would have been a good story. And the disciples noticed Jesus was at peace, and they all sat down, and they all experienced perfect peace in spite of the storm. That would have been a better lesson, because that's how you need to live. Let me just give you a practice. You can try it. It's a practice of my life, and it helps me a lot. If you find perfect peace other ways, that's good. You can teach me. I'd be happy. But here's what I do when the wind and the waves kick up. I practice the prayer of peace, and here's what I do. I close my eyes so I can't see the storm. That's one of the reasons when we pray, we close our eyes. Because I'm going to focus on the inner. And then I am aware of the wind. It's called in the Greek pneuma. It's called in the Hebrew ruach. It's the breath. And I'm just aware of it. And I go, peace. I want peace. Peace be still. So I just breathe. And I'm aware that the Holy Spirit is also called the breath and the ruach. And I'm aware of his presence as I simply, oh, yeah, he's with me. Oh, yeah, he's with me. Just peace be still to the wind of your life. Just peace be still. Okay. Then what I do is in my eyes are closed. I have been to the Sea of Galilee, so I picture the Sea of Galilee. You don't have to have been there. Just any body of water will do. Just picture it. And picture it perfectly still. Perfectly calm. Not a ripple in the water. And as you do that, at least when I do it, every once in a while, a ripple comes along. An idea, sometimes a sin will arise. And I'll confess it, I'll repent of it, and I'll let it sink down below the water. It's cast into the sea of his forgetfulness anyway. It's gone, and the ripple just calms out. Sometimes I've been in conflict with someone, and they try to intrude onto my pond. And I go, oh, no, it's okay. Peace be still. I just let them sink down or float off. whichever they need. I don't want to, I just, peace be still. My wind and my waves, and what happens is my wind and my waves calm down. And that helps me a great deal. Now, maybe just saying peace be still to your circumstance works for you, but I practice constantly the prayer of peace. And as I practice the prayer of peace, my days are more peaceful. In fact, if I start my day with the prayer of peace, when people try to stir my water up, I go, oh, no, peace be still. I remember that state. So the more I practice that, the more peaceful days I have. And I would just try it this week. See how it works out for you. Peace be still to your wind. Peace be still to your waves. And just receive the peace of Jesus. That was the story. Hey guys, I'm in the boat. I'm at perfect peace. You can be too. I love when Jesus says in John 14, peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace is calm in the middle of the storm peace. That's the kind of peace I have for you. My peace is on a pillow in the midst of a storm. Perfectly. Some of you are not sleeping well because you're so stirred up. Jesus has pillow peace. I just thought of that right there. Pillow, just flat out. My peace I leave you. Not as the world gives peace. The world is searching for peace in all kinds of artificial ways through substance abuse and use, through relationships, through materialism, constantly searching for peace, and Jesus said, those things will never bring you peace. All they'll do is keep stirring up the water. Stirring up the water. He said, I want to give you a peace that will calm things. Peace be still. Like in another stormy situation that's in the Bible, when the disciples were in a boat in the middle of the storm, and Jesus is so much at peace, he's just strolling by on the water. And he would have walked by him because he was going to the other side. Jesus is always going to the other side. I'm moving on, guys. And they called out to him and they said, that Jesus, is that you? Well, who else? And then Peter, I love Peter. I identify with Peter because I'm a verbal processor. Like I start speaking before I have a fully formed thought. Some of you know that because you've heard me talk a lot. That happens. And I think he would just let her, he just like things came, he started, he processed while he was talking. Jesus, if it's you, let me come to you. And all the other guys said, what did you say, Peter? And Jesus gave one instruction, one word, come. And when he got out of the boat, Peter fully trusted that one word. Come. That was like, we're going to the other side. Come. And he walks a few steps, which is more than I've ever walked on water. And more than the other disciples have ever walked on water. And then his eyes got on the wind and the waves. And that's when we sink. That's when we sink. And I'm just calling you today to put your eyes back on Jesus. And hear these words. Listen to him. Look at your storm through his eyes and hear his voice saying, peace, be still. We're going to pray, so let's stand for prayer. Let's close our eyes and just shut out maybe you've been in a storm. Maybe you fought this morning on the way to church. Peace be still. Maybe this last week has been like hell. Peace be still. Maybe you've been walking far away from God. Peace be still. We want to call you today back to the one that's called the Prince of Peace, the one who's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We want him to be in you so you can look at life through his eyes. And I want to give an invitation this morning that you would open your heart to the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. That you would say, Jesus, I want you in my life, my heart, my soul. And maybe you've been far away from God. Maybe you haven't been following Jesus. And today is your day for a fresh start, for a new beginning. And I want you to be a part of this prayer. And so I'm going to ask you to let me know that you're going to be a part of the prayer. And I know we're standing, but I'm going to ask you to put your hand up high enough for me to see it above the heads of the other people. And then I want you to lift your eyes up as well. I want to see you and just acknowledge you. Say, Pastor, I want to be included in this prayer of commitment, of grace, of love, of joining or rejoining God's family, of committing or recommitting my life to Christ. I see you. God bless you. God, glad you're here. Thank you. And right here, let me see you. Hey, bless you. And God bless you. Right here. I'm glad you're here today. Fresh start for you. New beginning for you. New beginning for you. I see you right there, God. Look, thank you for being here today. I see you guys. God bless you and God bless you and God bless you. I see you waving too. All right. Good. I'm just looking. Just put it up high enough for me to see. I won't pray. God bless you. Glad you're here today. Let Jesus do something new in your heart. He wants to be in your boat and take you through the storm. He wants to do that. And God bless you. And God bless you. Yeah. Right here. God bless you guys. I'm glad you're here in church. Let me see your eyes, buddy. Let me see your eyes. Yeah. You matter to God. Don't let anybody say you don't matter to God, because you matter to God. You matter to God. Right here. Let me see your eyes. Yeah. You matter to God. Yeah. Walk with Jesus. 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 If I didn't say, hey, I see a little guy right there. God bless you. And God bless you. Thank you. Glad you're here today. Way at the back. God bless you. I see you. Jesus sees you even clearer than I see you. Right over here, just put your hand up. Just wave right here. God bless you. Glad you. Walk close to Jesus. Walk close to Jesus. The world will try to pull you into the storm, but walk close to Jesus. Walk close to Jesus. Here's our prayer. Let's pray it together. We're going to pray it out loud because Jesus loves to hear our voice. He loves to hear it. And so we lift our voice together and we say, Dear Heavenly Father, everyone together, Dear Heavenly Father, we really love you. And we want to follow you. And we need your help, your power. And so we repent of our sins. And we let your power break that off of us. And we ask for forgiveness and for grace and for love and for mercy. And thank you, Father, that you give all these things to us. You never give up on us. And we're so glad for that. In Jesus' name, one more time, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, 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 amen. That's a good prayer, amen. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer, yeah. So, if you're making a fresh start and a new beginning with Christ, we want to get this booklet that we have had here for you called Now What to help you. You can get this in the VIP to help you or at the fresh start. Sign up for baptism if you need to be baptized. Maybe you're making a commitment or recommitment. Sign up for baptism. There'll be a lot of people out at the tables. And you can walk up to anyone and say, I made a commitment of Christ to Christ today. And would you pray with me? They'd love to pray with you. They would love to pray with you. Say, hey, while they're doing all their Connect group stuff, they would love to pray with you. And love to just affirm what God has done in your life. You can go to the VIP. You're a guest here today. We'd like you to do that. The VIP is right over there. It actually says VIP on it. Can't miss it. I love those big letters they put up, man. I can see them now. You can't miss them. I wonder where, yeah, VIP. I love that, man. So go by there. People will bless you. People will be with you. Join a Connect group. Connect with a Connect group. Don't do your sailing alone. Even Gilligan had some people in the boat with him. And without those people, it would have been a lonely 6 years, I'll tell you that much. Someone will bless you, and then we're going to have it all close. And so I want you to go out, talk to people at the tables. If you have been sailing alone, notice that Jesus had people in his boat. And get into 6 weeks. Just try out a boat for 6 weeks. Try it for 2 weeks. If you don't like it, go to another boat. Just try it out. So I want to bless you guys. Love you so much. And I'm glad for what God's doing in your life. Thanks for bringing your friends to church too. That's how people make commitments. We want to give them an opportunity, but they're here because you invite them. And I thank you for that. Because lives are being changed. by the power of Jesus Christ. And we're all a part of it. We're all a part of it. So I bless you in the strong, mighty, majestic name that's above every other name. And I ask you, God, to lead us and guide us. I pray that the God of hope would fill you with all joy and all peace, even in the midst of the storm, all joy and all peace, so that you will be filled with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I bless you in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, you are very blessed. And everybody says, amen. Hey, good to be together, guys. Love you. Say to a few people around you, hey, Jesus is awesome. Go ahead, just tell them, Jesus is awesome.